4QM is back at it again.
QM's just angry about something, I don't know what.
You got that one right, Glenn. How are you, brother?
I don't know, man. I literally just woke up. So, if it's already past noon and I'm just still sitting in my pajamas, that's... I gotta do something, man.
I've slept until after 11 every day this past weekend. Got up earlier this morning, though, and came down here just cleaning my airbrushes out a little bit and getting ready to work on a couple of new designs.
It's pretty much all that transmission.
At the end of the repeater. Don't know if it's a handheld or not.
The handheld. I don't know what's happening.
Always doing the interference there.
Against Roy per se. I don't know why he got into it with who was I talking to? It'll come to me. But you know, if you want to be polite and respectful, and you know, and friendly, then stay. If not, then find another repeater.
What's scary is this guy is an extra class. But looking at his logbook, he's only got 31 on there, and they're all VHF logs.
I didn't look at his QRZ entry, but, well, you know, I've always been general class, but I don't have any HF contacts either, for the simple reason that, you know, one of these days I got to put the antenna back up.
I need to do that. I've got a slingshot with a fishing reel on it, and a few other tools that we can use to do so.
GJW mentioned that the tool that looks like the really big slingshot, also the bow, and also I've seen the crossbow thing. The shotgun with the blank firing rounds in it, I don't know, that's probably too much of a bang. But yeah, you know, there's all kinds of things to throw a piece of rope.
I've used all of those. I've even used just a fishing pole with a heavy weight on it.
Because initially what I had done is I had, you know, two very thin wooden poles. You know, put the wire on top of one of them, put it, you know, lifted it up as high as I could against one of the utility poles that's on the property. And there's two utility poles 25 or 30 feet high and maybe 100, 120 feet apart. So initially all I did was, you know, get a very light, thin piece of wood, put the antenna on that, you know, reach up as high as you can and nail the little thin piece of wood to the pole, you know, and then repeat the procedure for the other side, you know, kind of unreeling the wire as you go. A bit of a problem in this case because the house is between them, but I mean, I could do that again. I did it myself the first time.
Sounds like a great place for a dipole or even doing an inverted V at that point would work out well too.
Fed random piece of long wire, but it actually seemed to work okay. The problem with making it a dipole is getting the feed point in the middle. You know, the middle would be, I guess, the roof of the house. So this was like the laziest way that one person could safely do it. You know, use a very thin, lightweight piece of wood, attach the thing to the top, and then just sister that up against the utility pole, you know, and do the same thing on either side. Actually having to walk it around the house, because the house is in the middle. But it did work until, I guess, it ended up coming loose at one end or the other. Actually, it got snagged in the rain gutter at one point, which... Now that I think about it, when it got snagged in the rain gutter, it actually worked better, right?
Probably added a little bit more capacitance to it. Yeah, well, there's a lot of different variations of antennas. I've heard in-fed half-waves work phenomenally well. I've got a homemade 80-meter dipole that I'm able to tune from 80 all the way down to 6 meters.
Could do, but I haven't played with them long enough. Those hamstick antennas are in standard sizes of like either 3 feet or 7 feet tall. And I had the bracket to take the two hamsticks and basically put them horizontally and back to back. So, a dipole was basically consisting of two hamsticks screwed together at the base. Now, there's also an octagonal version of that with four pairs of hamsticks. You see what I'm saying? A total of four for four bands. And, it's obviously it's directional on certain bands. But, that could be another way if you don't have a whole lot of space, for example. Here I got space. That's not the problem. That would also be a quick and easy way to do it.
So we have a friend of mine up in Kansas who is a full-time RVer right now, and that's what he has, is the MFJ Octopus. And it works phenomenally well. I've worked him both on voice and on CW.
Seen it in their catalog. It was a bit pricey. $400 just for the mount. Plus, probably each pair of hand sticks might be another. That's. I tell you, I envy your friend. I'm about ready myself to become a full-time RVer. The next time I go to an auction and find a good RV at a decent price, that's it. I'm out of here.
He enjoys it, but he is also currently on the look for a house to rent. He said that it's starting to get a little small.
From the ones I've seen, I think I can, small is good. I'm sure I could probably live in an RV. Well, I don't know whether I could do that for 6 months to a year or 2 years. Yeah, after 2 years or so, it might appear to get small. As time goes on, you realize it's not very big here. Isn't that the trend? The tiny house trend. So now your tiny house comes with you.
28 or a 30 foot fifth wheel, and that's what he's living in now. And he was doing a lot of traveling between the desert and Kansas and North and South Dakota and what have you, and just him and his wife were having a blast with it, but it's starting to get a little small on them. They're out in Yoder, Kansas now.
And it may be the only way I ever settle on it. I have property in Eureka County, Nevada, literally in the middle of nowhere. It's like 640 acres, and it's just a bit north of, on the other side of the river from Carlin, Nevada. And it's just to the south of a big old copper mine. So I'd have to, the water situation would be a problem. How to get water. But yeah, I got land I could put an RV on if I ever had to do that.
That sounds very expansive, very remote, pretty inviting.
Possible to sell because of the way the title was transferred. I had interested buyers who at the last minute decided, yeah, nope, sorry. So I guess I'm stuck with it.
Is there any way of getting it fixed?
It was a piece of property Deborah's parents had. Deborah's parents, Tom and Norma. And it was transferred by basically like a executor's deed. And, anything that goes through an executor goes through a will, it ends up in probate court. The problem is that, Nevada doesn't particularly care about the records of probate court from Nassau County, New York. So it would have to go through, this is what I'm gathering is the problem, it would have to somehow go through probate court in Eureka County, Nevada. And at this point, I'm like, ugh. All I can see is dollar signs in legal fees. I have to find some local lawyer who can practice in Eureka County, and maybe also for some reason can practice in New York. It's going to be more trouble than it's worth.
Little hassle. Good Lord.
Explaining it properly, and the way I piece this all together is. Before the latest offer fell through, there was another one a year before where it's like, at the last minute, the deal went poof. That person was nice enough to CC all the emails between him and the title company. So had I actually gone through that at the time and gone through those emails, I would have really figured out what the problem was. But... what it would cost to fix it, I don't know. Anything involving lawyers is going to be... Actually, I called two lawyers in Eureka County. One of them never got back to me. The other one basically said, in effect, sorry, don't want to do it. So it's more of a hassle than it's worth.
Kind of what it sounds like. Sounds to me like you're a landowner for a while.
Wash it through a couple of companies. A string of Nevada LLCs or Wyoming LLCs. And, if you transfer the title enough and it doesn't come out clean, I don't know. Does that ever remove the original stain? You can always find something, some sneaky way around things.
You could do that, but I don't know. I don't know enough about the title search histories and all of that. I'm definitely not a real estate guy. I don't know if the next one would erase the previous one, or if it's kind of like a lineage thing of how it was transferred over time from this person to this person to this person.
In any county in the United States, there's always going to be a history. This title changed back to the previous title, which changed back to another one, to another one, to another one. So the complete history of the property going back 100 years can easily be determined. Now, there was a couple of things about that property that are interesting. There was an easement granted by whatever it is, some railroad company that used to own the property. There was a company called Nevada Land and Ranches, and before that there was some other company. There's an easement going back to 1967, which grants to Department of Interior, part of the property for use in building an aquifer for the purpose of transporting water for agriculture and other things. So that might be the only shining, there might be a legal way to get water on that property.
Have they ever completed the aquifer?
Something, I don't know. That's a good question. I hadn't thought of that. There was granted the easement doesn't mean they did anything with it. But you know, there are other properties in that general area that are zoned for agriculture, so that's a possibility. I don't know. Which means if there's an aquifer that runs through there, you know, there's some legal way to tap into it. I'll change the usage to agricultural. Yeah, you know, I'm going to make a marijuana farm. I need water.
W4NGU.
W4NGU, KG4LSO. Go ahead, pick it up.
What you trying to do in a nutshell, Glenn? I don't have a whole lot of time.
Some piece of land I had in Eureka County, Nevada, which, you know, due to the way the title was transferred, is going to be a legal quagmire to try to, we were discussing general real estate law and the history of the property and how you can research all the previous owners and everything else. And I had come to the conclusion that there may or may not be an aqueduct there that I can get water out of. So I'll apply to the Department of Land Management to tap into the aquifer. Yeah, I want to build my aquaponics and marijuana farm. I need a permit to get the water.
That's interesting. Now, I thought you were saying there was some defect with the property. You must always disclose if you know it. If somebody was murdered in the house, all that's law. You have to disclose it if you know it. If you can swear that you did not know it, that's a different story. But, and then I thought you were going in the direction, we had a piece of land, where I work that was completely surrounded by someone else's land, and they wouldn't give us an easement for a driveway, and, you can go to a judge and get that an easement created. You can't stop somebody from having quiet enjoyment to their land, being able to get to it. But I would think you could, you have a right to get water to your property as well.
So the property in question is, you know, it's a lot of acreage. It may be landlocked as far as access to, the thing that concerns me is, A, you can drill for water, but also there's a copper mine to the north of me. Is that water that I really want to drink? So if I go down far enough, I can hit water. That's going to be a very expensive well to drill. Yeah, you know, we got to drill down 500 meters to get to the water table. And the other possibility is, as I said, if back in the 1960s or so, somebody actually built an aqueduct through there, then you probably have some legal means. You could go to Bureau of Land Management and apply for it. Yeah, you know, Nevada is funny as far as real estate, but I'm not going to end up doing anything with the property anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I just want to see if I could throw in 2 cents worth. I'm not a lawyer, but I built houses for years, and then I've been 21 years with a university where people try to give land to us sometimes that has problems, and you have to discover those problems and disclose them, and sometimes we don't even take the land because it's got hazardous waste. People will try to sneak stuff by you. Oh, I'll just get a tax deduction and get rid of my hazardous waste problem. We weren't born yesterday. But anyway, I thought I could help you. It doesn't sound like I can. Sounds like a mess. And, of course, depending on what you mean by a lot of acreage, it may or may not be worth it. If one lawyer said it wasn't, it probably isn't, because a lawyer would jump on anything if he thinks he can get fees. No disrespect to the legal community intended. So y'all carry on this W4, never give up.
Maximum disrespect to the legal profession is intended. I'll tell you about the sometime about the property here that I was basically forced to sell because some lawyer, you know, if I could drown them all at the bottom of the ocean, I will, because lawyers ain't good for nothing except hog feed. You know, if we have to rebuild civilization from scratch, they're going to be the last people we need, you know, except, of course, as hog feed.
I do have a question for you. My wife is an environmental geologist. Do you guys have a firm that you guys use when you're having to investigate properties?
It doesn't come up that often, but I think they do. I don't know, but I'd be glad to keep your name and number around.
My name's Jimmy, and my call sign is Kilowatt Golf 4 Lima, Sierra Lima. And my email address is good on QRZ, if you wanted to send me an email on that. I could pass along my wife's firm's name and the information on that.
KG4LSL.
Good to speak with you. And Glenn, that one thing that you may be able to do is lease it. If you can lease the land to a farmer or something like that, be enough to pay the taxes anyway.
Yeah, you know, again, if the land is farmable, and then, you know, and that aqueduct is, because as I said, that easement was granted, which means back in the 1960s, which means there may or may not be an aqueduct there. Department of Interior certainly could have applied for that and did nothing with it. So yeah, if there's land going through, if there's water going through there and it can't be tapped into, sure, I could lease it out for farmland. But, you know, other than that, it's, you know, 600 acres in the middle of, basically in the middle of the Nevada desert.
Yeah, sounds fun. Not really.
LSL, what was your first name again?
Jimmy, Juliet, India, Mike Yankee.
Jimmy, I'll tell you one other that we turned down, of course. There was a little piece of land. It was about, it formed a T, and each side of the T was 10 feet, and then the base of the T was about 15 feet, and it was landlocked between three lots. And somebody tried to donate that, and went on the business of telling people they're crazy, but of course they were. They wanted tax deduction to deed us land that we could never use. Can you believe that?
At the one of the adjoining pieces of properties owners. Good Lord. I don't even think you could put I don't think you could do anything with it.
Well, you can't. It was just drawn up and put on a plat, and they tried to get a tax deduction. I said, just go somewhere else. We're not interested in a scam.
Do I have it?
You got it.
That in Florida. what you say about Florida swampland, what's the old joke? But yeah, it was a total of three parcels. This was on Florida's, you know, Gulf Coast, but it's right near Naples. And but it's probably too far. It's like 5 miles from where the easternmost area that they're building right now. Eventually, someone's going to want to build there because I guess the area just keeps growing. But yeah, there was one piece that was like that was completely surrounded by neighboring land. The flat map looks like a complete mess, but you know, fortunately, I eventually got rid of all those pieces. They got sold for back taxes, which was actually fortunate. That was the only way they were going to get sold. And the sale was, you know, I got about what I paid for it initially, so I didn't really lose any money. So that's the only way they were ever going to get sold, is someone was going to, you know, just stop paying taxes and allow it to go to a tax sale.
Glenn, where'd Al get buried? Did he go back up north or somewhere here locally?
Asking about?
Al, KI4 now, something like that. Al in Malden.
He caught the westbound. He's no longer with us. He passed away, I think, at the end of 20... Maybe 2021. He's been gone about a year or more.
Yeah, I knew that. Did they bury him locally or back up north?
Asking it. That I don't know. I don't know why they would, you know, not for me to say, but his brother and his sister-in-law, you know, they wouldn't spit on him if he were on fire. So I don't imagine they paid money to ship him back north.
We'll leave that subject, but I thought you and him were big buddies. You were at one time. But anyway, I was able to talk to you guys a little longer than usual. There's some construction on the 290 holding up everything for a couple of miles, but I'm getting through it now and about to my destination. So, Glenn, we'll see you later. And, Jimmy, you tie the ribbons on it, and I'm going to be gone. W4, never give up, clear.
Never give up. Phil, it was a pleasure speaking with you today and making your acquaintance. And please be careful motoring around all the road destruction. We'll talk to you later. 73's KG4LSL. Great, Glenn.
Yeah, we're good buddies. It's just, for some reason, it's his brother I got into it one day. And after that, I just, you know, I didn't really want to come around. We got into it bad, and I'll describe why some other time. But, yeah, you know, RIP, KI4MLN.
Any major plans for the day?
My plans for today? No, not really. As I said, man, I slept until about noon. And if I do that, you know, I'm a late riser as it is, but, you know, I don't know, man. I guess I needed to sleep. But, yeah, I've got any one of a number of things to do.
Yeah, my problem there, most of the time I'm a kind of early riser, but since my surgery and everything else, you know, I guess you could call it a medically induced slumber is what normally happens to me. And if I've had a real bad night, then yeah, it could be 11 or 12 o'clock before I get up. It's just, it is what it is.
In the neck, the pain in my neck and shoulder is mitigated over the past couple of days. Just a few days ago, I was in such pain that I had to take two of Deborah's morphine tablets. One at night, probably one the following morning. Because it was at the point where I'm really, really, really not going to sleep with the pain. Yeah, but the shoulder and neck seems okay now. And I only have two of those tablets left, so... Whatever I have now is controllable with aspirin or Tylenol or something. But yeah, occasionally, on rare occasion, I do get severe enough pain that, you know, I basically can't do anything except stay in bed.
Changes and everything else happens to it, too, and can affect it, for sure. Well, Glenn, I'm going to jump off of here. I've just got done finished taping up the bill of a lip or a square bill crankbait. And got a couple of patterns running through my head that I want to try and get down on the bait before I lose them. So I'll bid you 73s, and we'll talk to you later on. I've got to do this before I lose it. KG4LSL.
KD2BNG. Yeah, let me see if I can salvage something out of today. It's already about 1 o'clock. But okay, 73s, and we'll talk to you later.
KB2HXS Mobile.